The Los Angeles Kings are looking to start another winning streak and continue their point streak against the Washington Capitals tonight. We're going to talk all about that game coming up right now on Locked On Los Angeles Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Wednesday and happy game day. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, and thank you for making this show your first listen of the day every day here on your favorite podcast app of choice. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show, and always I'm glad to be here talking about the Kings with you. We are going to be looking today at the game against the Washington Capitals as the Kings come back from their Canada road trip where they won 3 out of 4, which quite honestly is probably better than a lot of people had expected. They lost to the Winnipeg Jets in overtime, though, so that point streak still continues. The schedule gets a little tougher from here on out, though, so we are going to start out right now with talking all about the Washington Capitals with special guests today from the Locked On Capitals podcast. We're going to get into that right now. So the Kings' next opponent as they look to get back on a win streak is, it's going to be a tough one. It's the Washington Capitals, and we are here with Locked On Capitals host Tyler Kuehl, who is going to tell us all about what's going on. First off, welcome to Locked On. This is the first time we've actually connected since you joined the network, so glad to have you here to tell us all about your team and what's going to happen.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah. Yeah, it's been fun. Everyone's been very welcoming, which is weird because every person I've talked to with their teams, the Capitals have beaten. And I think that's why we talk before the game. So everyone's in good spirits.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No one wants the post game podcast where you're like, wow, sure, Alex Ovechkin sure did murder my team, huh? Let's talk about it.
Ovechkin scores. Well, there's a long list of those teams. Yeah. So you have to be more specific.
Right. Exactly. So let's actually start out with him because he is Alex Ovechkin. He is on his pursuit of beating a record. I know a lot of people are kind of up in the air as to whether we should even be talking about that yet, but he's Alex Ovechkin, and he is, I feel like, unstoppable. I don't know how many goals he scored against the Kings in his career, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's been a lot.
You know, the crazy part, you say it's a lot, and that's mainly because of the fact that it's questionable because of how few games they play against each other. They only play twice a year. And yes, you're right. The Caps and Kings have never made it to the Stanley Cup final. So there you go. Never have to worry about that. At least, yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure there's some Devils fans right now are saying, you would like to trade spots, please. No, Ovi he's a freak in nature. That's the only best way I can describe it right now. He has 26 points in 15 games. He is 30. It's crazy to say he's only 36 years old. I almost said 37. He turns 37 next year. The fact of the matter, he's been playing for close. He's almost going into, you know, 2 decades of playing in the National Hockey League, and he will be 38 when he hits that double-digit year or 20th year. And I don't know what it is. I think the one trend I've been saying for this season in particular is the fact that, especially with Kuznetsov and when Samsonov has been in net, is that these guys were just stressed out after last year.
Yeah.
They realized they didn't and yes, there was the whole hoopla with the bubble. There was the, do these guys really even want to play? Yada, yada, yada. The Mitchell Russo report that came out that the guys were partying in the bubble and whatnot and not taking it seriously. And you know what? To each their own. I mean, the way the Caps went out in that bubble, yeah, it could probably be a good guess. But the fact of the matter is that Ovi has come playing. It looks like he's just loose and he's having fun and he's excited. And yes, you're right. It is the early stages where in the season where everyone can seemingly find a way to score a lot of goals and a lot of points. Look at Connor McDavid. Holy moly. But it's him and Draisaitl both. But you can just tell that Ovechkin just feels more comfortable out there. Maybe it's because he's back in front of a home crowd, a full crowd. He doesn't play in front of 250 people or whatever the Caps had at the beginning of the season last year. And it's just slowly – and it's – spreading throughout the team. And you're right, while Ovi, it's a very top heavy offense right now for the Capitals, but I knew Ovechkin was going to hit. It just seems like he's going to hit the record eventually. He just passed Brett Hall for fourth all time. Jágr is within eye shot. And then it's Howe and Gretzky. And, you know, I remember I was listening to Jeff Merrick on the Jeff Merrick show last week or a couple weeks ago. And he said, you know, we're talking about Ovechkin right now. And we're talking about the record for Gretzky of 894, which would pretty much put him on a quick path there to 900. But if he really keeps up at a rate and stays healthy, knock on this wooden table in here, 1,000 is a possibility by 2025. It's like, it's ridiculous because he's never, I mean, his down year last year was also because because he had the 4-game COVID suspension and he also has injured his shoulder. And if you ever shot a puck before, you need the shoulder to shoot it, especially those one-timers. So if he can stay healthy and keep producing, scoring 35 to 40 goals a year, and at the end of this time, you know, sees that he could still produce and just does 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. Well, hey, there's your opportunity to go for an unthinkable milestone in today's era where, yes, I love Gretzky and, you know, Howe was great as well. But if you shot the puck hard enough down on the ice those days, goaltenders were not going to stop it.
Right. They just look at it as it.
They look at it. They try to flail their foot at it. Oh, they missed it. Well, shoot, he shouldn't have gotten that shot. Like goaltenders back in the 80s looked at as goalkeepers in soccer today. Why did he get a shot off? Why was he allowed to shoot it? I'm sorry. He's a pretty good player. Ronaldo's a pretty good player. If he gets a if he gets a shot away, well, then what are we supposed to do? Gretzky's great. But nowadays, the goaltenders are meant to not just be there and hopefully make a save. It's they're supposed to make the majority of saves. And that's why Ovechkin is I've always thought it was Mike Bossy because of the rate he scored in the 80s. But looking at it now and how long Ovechkin has done it through, you know, the post-lockout goaltending – compared to today's goaltending, like it's night and day. The goaltenders have gotten better as Ovi has gotten older, and he's still been consistently one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League. And that's why I still say today, he is the best goaltender, or best goaltender, best goal scorer.
He might be.
We don't know. We've never seen it. He probably could. I mean, he's made some defensive plays this year. I'm like, the only thing he's never tried to do is play goal, allegedly, at least, you know, on the ice. But he's the best goal scorer in the NHL's history ever. And I know there's going to be some Canadians, people that scrape, well, you know what? There was Maurice Richard, and he would tear a wall through Ovechkin. I'm like, yeah, you know what? He may have, but maybe. I'll be honest. But he got hurt. He got injured. Ovechkin has been able to play this very tough, strong, hitting style, something you never really see out of the past goal scorers outside of maybe the Rocket and Gordie Howe. But he's been able to play a tough physical game and score goals for his entire career.
Yeah,
that's what's made him one of the best. And, you know, I don't ever want to go on the whole, oh, who should be on the Mount Rushmore of the National Hockey League, because that's not fair. But in terms of, I would say, the expansion era, 67 onward, he's the probably he's going to be up there with, with Gretzky and with Lemieux and whoever you want to throw as the fourth up there. But Ovechkin's face has to be on there, no question.
Yeah, he is. I looked it up while we were chatting. In 21 career games against the Kings, he has 21 points. So,
point of game goals. Player. Look at him. Yeah. Who would have thought that would be a point of game player?
Right? Yeah, he is. I tell the story of people who've listened to the show for a long time have probably heard it before. But a couple of years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and a friend was there, and we're like, oh, let's just go to a Capitals game. And it was Capitals Oilers. And I was like, this is going to be great. Alex Ovechkin versus Connor McDavid. This is going to be a great matchup. Two of the best players in hockey. It's going to be so fun. It went to like a 1-1 shootout, and neither of them got a point in the whole game. I was this is like, I'm in like the bizarro world of hockey. Like, how did this just happen? But he has just consistently been, you know, he's a player who you just kind of want to root for. He's just so fun to watch. And
unless he's playing against your team.
Right.
Will say this. I went to a Leafs-Caps game. Full disclosure, people know this. I'm a bit of a thing for the Leafs. My brother and I, it was my brother's first game at the ACC because this was the 16-17 season. So literally, it was the third to last game for the Leafs. So literally, they were a week away from playing each other in the playoffs, which I still believe the Leafs could have won that series had Tom Wilson never existed.
Well, yeah.
But regardless, the first shift, Obi, I think, may have had an assist in the game. Didn't score a goal. And the first shift, the puck gets chipped in the corner. Leo Komarov was going back for it for the Leafs. I think it was Komarov or was it Ojigan? It was one of the it was somebody. It was a Russian. And so I just remember that for some. Maybe it could have been Nikita Zaitsev. Anyways, puck gets up in the corner. Ovi's out there. And for some reason, and don't forget, this is game 79 with the playoffs in sight. The Caps have locked up the President's Trophy at this point. Ovi just comes barely in and just wham. And we're sitting up in the 300s in the corner of ACC, and we heard that, and we all said to ourselves, this is going to be a very, very long night.
Yeah.
And the Caps end up kicking him up and down the ice 5-1. He threw like seven hits in the game. Like, he's a freak. And
he just loves it.
And he loves playing that way. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to score many goals tonight, so I may as well try to kick a few people's butts while I'm out here, make it known that I still play. Because gosh forbid we ever forget Ovechkin's a capital.
And he makes it work. He's he is something else. I 80 games out of the year, I'm rooting for him. Two games, I'm like, you could just sit this one out, maybe.
Just sit off to the side. And you know what? Sit in that one-timer spot, but let's keep it on Kuznetsov's side.
Right. Even or like, Kuznetsov's oops, you lost your stick. Like, oops, oh darn.
Oh darn. Yeah. Someone ripped your stick. Someone pulled a – oh gosh, who did that? Was that – I don't know if it was Corey Perry. Someone stole a stick from somebody years ago to Alexander.
I mean, you feel like it was just always Corey Perry. Like, anytime you need – someone to have done that.
You know as well as anyone. Yeah. He only played in California for a good chunk of time.
Right. Yeah. It's. Do you need a jerk on the West Coast? It was Corey Perry. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
There is more with Tyler coming up right after this. Before we get into that, let's talk snacks because the holidays are here. It is time to enjoy some meals. It is time to have to figure out when you're eating those meals because, you know, grandma doesn't want to eat dinner yet or you have to go from house to house, whatever. It's a great time to have some snacks in your back pocket, and those snacks should be Built Bars. They are a great new holiday dessert, if you want to think about them that way. They are delicious, and they are also all healthy. They are low in calories, low carbs, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% chocolate, and are just super darn delicious. They're a great option for when you're hungry. If you're getting a little hangry because Thanksgiving dinner isn't soon enough, go and snack on a Built Bar or two. You can even bring some to family gatherings, share them at the table, get your aunt or your uncle or your grandma to try a Built Bar and get them hooked on the best tasting protein bars. The great thing about Built Bars is that they have surprises coming all the time. There are limited edition flavors arriving at built.com regularly, and there's nothing like a Built Bar Friday. So mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with lots of big surprises. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now let's talk more Caps.
So what is up with the Capitals other than, of course, the goal watch with Alex Ovechkin? I see that they are doing really well in their division, tied with the Hurricanes for points. What's happening? What's the outlook look like for this team this year?
Well, I came into this year saying, you know what? Third will be nice. Third in the division, you know, because at this point it's, I don't want to say it's like the Tampa Bay Lightning, just get in and shot a cup, because I don't know if the Caps are cup contenders because we've seen them play Florida. They've had a tough go. We're going to see them against Carolina coming up here soon. They played well. I mean, they dominated the Rangers opening night, but I figured New York just wasn't ready. Now we've seen the Rangers actually being a good hockey team. So that'll be a better matchup later on. The Metropolitan Division in itself is just kind of wonky because you have teams like New Jersey and Philly who had bad years last year, and Pittsburgh who was out with, you know, without Crosby for the majority of the time. Right now, as of the time we're recording this, Sarah, Pittsburgh is the only team in the division that is not above 500. They are at 500. And that's because Pittsburgh got nailed by the Caps 6-1 on Sunday night. So this is a division that's a lot tougher than I think a lot of us expected. Of course, Columbus is a very pleasant surprise. And, you know, we expected Carolina to do well. And Philly's coming back strong. The Islanders technically set at the bottom of the division, but that's because they played the least amount of games so far. Once they get back in their home rink, I think they're really going to start to pick things back up again. I picked them to win this whole division, but the Caps, they have garnered expectations well, and this is without guys like Nicklas Backstrom, who is looking to be longer and longer out and is probably going to be, at this point, missing the Olympics by the looks of things. TJ Oshie right now is on the trip, as is Anthony Mantha with the Caps, but they have not been skating. Oshie's been in a walking boot. Mantha just had shoulder surgery. He's expected to be out a few more weeks. And, you know, there was a time Vitek Vanecek got banged up. We had to have Zach Vukali come in. He only went out and posted a shutout in his first ever NHL game, finally. But with the injuries, you see some more opportunities for young kids. I thought Hendrix LaPierre started off well. Unfortunately, he just seems like he needs more opportunity to develop. That's why they sent him back to Acadie Bathurst in Quebec. But Connor McMichael, London Knights all the way through, certainly has been a very pleasant surprise. You know, Brett Leeson has scored a couple of goals already this season in his time with the Caps. Alexei Protas, I mean, I think he's going to continue to get more minutes, especially with these back-to-backs out west here. And actually, Jonsson Falby is another guy that's come in and had to step up. They just called up Garrett Pallon from Hershey to be a guy, and he's their leading scorer right now. Now, granted, that's because Connor McMichael has not played in Hershey, nor have, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of Leeson and Protas in Hershey because they've been so much up with the Caps. But I've just enjoyed the fact that this team has found ways to, while the at one point there were only two guys that had double digits, and that was Kuznetsov and Ovechkin in points, but now we're seeing Tom Wilson come on strong, and Johnny Carlson started to pick up his production from the back end, and Lars Eller is starting to come around after a very sluggish start to the year. Connor Sheary had a couple points the other night against Pittsburgh, and Daniel Sprong is starting to look better as well, and Nick Jensen, and like it goes, the list goes on and on, Sarah, about guys that may have started off slow, but like even though they had that streak where they just did not lose in regulation, you just seem like, you know what? Yeah, but they're beating New Jersey and they're beating these, you know, these lower teams that they should be beating. When they beat the Rangers opening night 5-1 or 6-1 or 5-1, I was like, see, yeah, the Rangers are back to normal. They're mediocre again. Great. That's how it's supposed to be. No, they're not. Yeah. So, but I think it's going to be interesting to see when we get to the heart of the season, you know, you get to that late December, early January, heading into the Olympic break. That's why I think the Olympic break is going to be so important for this hockey club, because yes, you're going to have Ovi go over, because Kuznetsov obviously can't, still suspended by the IIHF, but you'll probably see Johnny Carlson go play for the United States. I wouldn't be shocked if Orlov goes as well. If Oshie gets healthy, he'll probably be someone that the Americans take a look at. Samsonov, I don't think he'll play, but he could be a guy that could be on the Russian team. Vitek Vanacek is going to certainly be representing his country in the Olympics as well. But, you know, for guys like Martin Fejervaari and Garnet Hathaway, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, like guys have had to play pretty tough minutes so far and will have to as the season wears on, they're going to enjoy that rest. So it's interesting how the season is so compressed, but it's like going to be like, all right, let's get to that point, and then you can really tell where the Caps are going to be standing when we get to February and that part, the second half of the season.
Going to close out the show with a little bit more Caps conversation with Tyler Kuehl of Locked On Washington Capitals. Before that, though, let's talk betting, because betonline.ag is back and it is better than ever. They've got a new web interface all ready for the start of basketball season, which is underway. You can get more props, odds, and lines than ever before. The whole website has been updated. It's brand new. It's shiny. It's great. Go on your phone or on your computer to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. BetOnline is, of course, your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. You can also find hockey, boxing, UFC, casino games, and much more. So don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so go check it out. BetOnline.ag, promo code locked on. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, so the Kings don't listen to this podcast, so you don't have to worry about them hearing what you're going to tell me next, which is, what is the weakness of this Washington Capitals team? If the Kings want to come out there and get their win streak started again, continue their point streak, what do they have to do other than like physically sit on Alex Ovechkin?
You know, it's crazy. If you had asked me that prior to game one, I'm like, well, our defense is awful. Defense is, it's Johnny Carlson and a band of merry men. But as I mentioned, Martin Fejervaari has been a well surprised. Two goals and assists. I know that's not crazy points wise, but the fact that this is his first real true stint in the National Hockey League and playing those top pair minutes, and has the best thing I ever heard. I know people really give a lot of crap to Mike Babcock and for all the stuff he did off the ice, what have you. The best thing I ever heard him, one of the most notable quotes I ever heard him say, it was when Travis Dermott got called up to his first game. I think it was 17-18 season. He got called up and someone asked him in the scrum after the game, said, how do you think of Travis Dermott? And I said, I'm like, well, I didn't have to really think of his name until now, so I guess he played pretty good. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. How many times have I had to say Martin Fejervaari's name outside of a scoring chance? That just shows that he's been competent and capable of being an NHL defenseman. And then I mentioned Nick Jensen. Still has the quick feet, can move the puck well, but is also playing well as defensive zone. Justin Schultz has not needed to been, you know, a top guy like he had to be in the past with Pittsburgh or with Edmonton. Obviously, if you want to go further than that, he's been okay in a lesser role. I love the, you know, I was skeptical about Trevor Van Riemsdyk because there were a couple of games early on, but I'm like, you are definitely that Rockford Trevor Van Riemsdyk that I remember very well. But all of a sudden he started to really pick up his play. And yes, once again, he's not a big point getter, but he does have six assists. He's once again looking confident. And then the goaltending I thought would have been a weakness too, but Vanacek and Samsonov, even though Samsonov has played lesser, They've both been very solid when they're called upon. They haven't really had to do a whole lot of work either because of that defense. The weakness, if there is one, Sarah, is the fact that as of right now, it is still, you know, your top six only scoring. Because now that Connor McMichael's been bumped up into the top six, that kind of really took away the offensive prowess of the bottom six that they had. And I attest that to the fact that Peter Laviolette has really, really softened up the workload for Brett Leeson, Lexi Protass. They were averaging, I think, at one point amongst, and Janssen Falby was the other, they were playing like 4 minutes a night, four or five minutes a night. So people say, they look at the stats and they scream out, oh my gosh, the depth scoring's not there. Well, it doesn't help when you play 4 minutes.
Right.
I mean, it's like saying, you know, if you're, it's when, you know, you're, I covered the Olympics this past year, and I was watching the United States and obviously in Russia and whatnot. It's like being the one specialist. You're a floor exercise specialist, and you have to do well at that one event, even though you go over the uneven bars and you absolutely choke. If you're relied upon to do the one thing you're good at and you don't do great at it, it'll look bad. So you're right. If you play 5 minutes and you don't score, well, you're right. No one's going to notice you. And people think you're not producing, but it's hard to, when that's your one thing you're doing and you only have that one shot to really go at it. So, I mean, I just, as I say that, it's kind of a weird analogy, but just if you kind of don't, if you don't think about it, it sounds perfect.
Right. Right.
But that's maybe the weakness on this team. And I think, like I said, the season will start to wear on, the bodies will break down, and I think you'll start to see these guys play closer to 10 minutes a night. And you know what? I think, first of all, Lexi Protass and Brett Leeson, they know each other very well. They both played at Prince Albert together during that great 18-19 season where they fell short in the Memorial Cup, even though there's no such thing as a WHL team doing well in that thing anymore. That's neither here nor there. But the fact of the matter is, if those two guys click together like they did back in junior, I think they could start to produce something here at the NHL level. So that could probably turn around, but as of right now, as the time we record this, Sarah, yeah, the bottom six offensively have not been stellar. But then again, they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to just go out there, not let the other team score,
right?
And then let Ovi and Kuznetsov rest up, and then they get on the ice and they go score. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's a perfect plan. Well, I will close with the thing that I always like making people do that I hate doing myself, which is why I make other people do it, which is, what is your prediction for this game? How do you think it goes?
Back to back. And we should probably preface this one when we're recording this, Sarah, is that the Caps did play, as the time they listened to this, the night before. We were recording this before their game against the Ducks, and which totally could mean Garrett Pallon could have made the lineup and scored his first National Hockey League goal. But that's why I'll say that after this interview, of course, or the next day. I'll say that after that or whatever. But gosh, the back-to-backs are so dumb and so funny at the same time. I'm going to say the Kings win just because of the fact, and because they're eight. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying to slight the Kings. They're a good hockey team. On a single game night, this would be a very good matchup and a very fun game to watch. But the fact that the Kings have a couple days rest, and the fact that the Caps are coming off a matchup against the very talented, very tough Ducks team.
Sounds real weird to say that. Real weird. Yeah.
Well, like, hey, 4 years ago, we're like, this is a resurging Ducks team, and the Kings are back to normal. And but no, nowadays, it's like, these two teams are good. I will say, just kind of looking ahead at their schedule, how the fact that they have to play San Jose on Saturday night and they have to go to Seattle on Sunday, that's not going to be fun at all. Even though maybe that's why they prepped. I'm like, you know what? Let's give them the expansion team last, so maybe Seattle has a shot to win that game. Right now, Seattle's playing. They're playing like an expansion team. There you go. Yeah. But this game tonight, as I beat around the bush as fast as I possibly can. Dang. I don't know. I'm going to say Kings to three. Okay, this is the 3-2 league that we sit in. I'm going to go. You know what? I did this with Jay Forrester when we did the Lockdown Blue Jackets crossover. I'm going to say 4-2. Kings went on an empty net goal because Caps will keep it close. I think Samsonov. The time I record this, I have no idea who's starting for the Caps. Vanacek probably will get the start tonight. You'll see Samsonov tomorrow. And I think Samsonov will play well. Then again, though, with these two teams, the way the offenses are clicking, the top line's offenses, you may see it go 5-4, 6-5. But I'm going to say 4-2.
Okay.
And I'm going to give – I'll give Deneau the game winner because why not?
I like
just to make Montreal fans happier every single day.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I was really sad he didn't score against them. I was just really hoping for it. They booed him in the game. I was like,
of course they boo him. Let's put it this way, Sarah. Chris Chelios was traded from Chicago to Detroit in 1999. He was traded. He didn't sign. He was traded to Detroit. Now, yes, at the time, they were very hated rivals in that Central Division. 2009 was his last full season in the NHL. They still booed the heck out of him. Heck, if Brett Hall ever stepped on a sheet of ice in Canada, someone will jump out to him because people – some reason still boo him because he got cut from the Canadian national team, went to go play for the United States. And no matter what people, even though clearly he wasn't good enough to play for Team Canada, they think we resent you because you left us.
Yeah. No big deal.
Also because after he got cut, he became one of the greatest goal scorers ever. Yeah.
Well, you know. Well, I love the prediction. We'll have to see how it turns out. And hopefully we can connect again once our teams meet over in Washington for a little bit of a road trip for the Kings across the country. Thank you for chatting with me today. Where can people find you, your show, pitch anything you're interested in to the audience?
Well, I will say this. I said this on the show Monday in regards to watching, being a Caps fan or following the Caps when you're in the Eastern time zone and have they go out west. You Westerners can never complain about East Coast bias because of one thing and one thing only. I was in Denver this past weekend. And I got to watch college football at 9:30 in the morning. And I didn't. And I got to watch the Oregon-Washington State game. And I got to watch all the West Coast games. You guys have nothing to complain about. You get to watch sports all day and go to bed at a decent hour. That's, I just want to get that out of the way right now. For all you Kings fans out there, I don't ever want to hear East Coast bias, because the reason why I say East Coast bias is because you get to watch everything. We don't. We have to work in the morning.
Yeah. Who wants to stay up until 1 a.m.? It's horrible.
Exactly. Anyways, you can follow us at Locked On Caps on Twitter. You can follow me, the Insider of the Insiders, Tyler Kuehl, at TJKU29 every single day. We're going to try to get John Walton back on the show next week. The Caps radio play-by-play voice. He's been a fun get to have the last couple of times we talked to him. Probably going to get some more talk. And we did just talk about the Hershey Bears. I'm going to try to get Zach Fish on next week because he's a cool guy to talk about, give people the lowdown on the prospects that Washington has down in Hershey in the American League. And yeah, daily content, free and available on all platforms.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Tyler for talking with me today. Thank you for listening to this show. We're going to be back tomorrow as we look at what happened in that game. And we're also going to be talking with Jared Ellis, host of Locked On Hurricanes, to get us ready for the next matchup between our two teams over the weekend. So that is coming up next on Locked On Los Angeles Kings. Now that you're done here, go make your second listen of the day, Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Available, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So that is it for the day. Thank you so much for listening. Find me on Twitter at the handle thing down there. The show's on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. The show is available, of course, on whatever your favorite podcast app of choice is. So go give us a follow, go subscribe, and make sure you never miss an episode. That's it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, this has been Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.